to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 82 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. I hope you all are having a great week. I am getting ready to settle in here for my third week in a row of bonus extra content Thursday night shows. 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of having Eric Jones on. Last Thursday, had a great time with Julius Curry from Julius Curry Racing. And Josh Rayum did that show on location in 24 seconds in Berkeley, which was a blast. And now this week, the highly anticipated listener call-in show. And by highly anticipated, it's highly anticipated by me and at least a couple guys that are calling in here tonight. So I'm stoked. I can't wait. I got a drink poured, ready to go. Sit back, have a little bit more relaxed show, have some dialogue, talk some NASCAR. And this will be the last bonus show for a couple weeks until Friday, August 10th, when I will do the extra show from MIS. So after tonight, just the Tuesday show for a couple weeks, and then we'll pick back up a little extra bonus content. So, all right. I cannot wait to get to your calls here in a minute. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't checked out Tuesday's show, make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out MOATF podcast this week. Make sure you check out PETM podcast from Tuesday night as well. Funny story, if you haven't checked theirs out, the Orange Cone called in mid-show. So they had the Orange Cone on impromptu. And I got my show done early Tuesday. I met Lindsay up for some bar trivia. And as I was walking home, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call Sherwin, talk to Sherwin, Rusty. I figured they were done. I wasn't checking on YouTube. So as I was calling them, they were literally wrapping up their show with Cone. And I call with like 2 minutes left in their show. It is very funny. Go check that out for sure. It's done. It's a done deal. The airplane ticket is bought. The tickets for the race are bought. I am in. I am going to Darlington with PETM. So that is going to be so much fun. Can't wait to go to the Southern 500, kick back and enjoy the race as a fan. It's going to be so much fun. All right, so this weekend we've got Iowa for the Xfinity Series coming up, Truck and Cup at Pocono, and I talked about all that on Tuesday's show. So let's get to what this bonus show is for. You, the listeners, I mentioned it on the Lucky Dog segment on Tuesday that it was so cool because I had like 8 to 10 tweeted responses, 3 calls into the Wave Around hotline with voicemails, with your picks. It felt good. So this is to help boost the participation in the Wave Around hotline calls weekly and to be able to talk with you guys outside of Twitter, have some open chat. I expect this to be a lot of fun. If you guys like it, I'll try it again maybe in a month or so. Get some of the guys maybe to call back and hopefully get some new callers as well. That said, let's crank up the Wave Around hotline. That just sounds old, doesn't it? Man, I miss those old dial-up days, don't you? All right, we got the Wave Around hotline cranked up. Let's get to our first caller. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, our first caller tonight is Todd. Todd, what's up, man? How's it going?
Oh, Brandon, it's going great. How about yourself?
Great night. Sitting in the man cave, having a drink, getting ready to talk with you guys. I am pumped. Todd, tell everyone where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Dallas, Texas, actually a suburb of Dallas, north, about 12 miles, a town called Plano. And just sitting here in the heat, baking, and looking to talk some NASCAR with you.
Excellent. All right. So I got to ask, Cowboys fan? Houston fan?
Definitely Cowboys. Nothing to do with anything Houston.
I believe my Detroit Lions are playing the Cowboys this year at your house, so that should be an interesting one.
Actually, the last game I went to was a playoff game against the Lions.
Oh, you were at that game. Maybe a little... That one. I remember that one.
Yeah, I thought you might remember that one. Just a little.
Oh, that's funny. All right, man. Open floor. Man, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I was reading an article about a year ago about the playoffs.
Playoffs.
It had some interesting points. Yeah, it's kind of the playoff system in NASCAR. Was that? I know who that reference was. Playoffs? Are you kidding me?
Right?
I don't know how much people think about the playoffs, but it's been kind of on my mind the last couple of seasons. I really didn't think a whole lot about it in the way it's changed the history of the sport until, the last year or so. And then the article pointed out that if the playoff system had never been implemented, Jeff Gordon would be a 7-time champion. Carl Edwards would be a 2-time champion. Neither Bush brother would have been a champion. So it's just kind of an interesting topic I think about from time to time. And say like last year, had Martin Truex not won the championship, I think that would have been a bit disappointing to a lot of people. I don't know how most people feel about the playoffs, but on one hand you like them, on the other hand it's kind of a guy that could dominate a season. A guy could possibly win over 20 races in the season to get knocked out of the playoffs and not have a championship. And that just seems kind of weird to me.
Well, it's
what about you? What do you think about it?
So it's funny you say that. I've gone back and I know Jayski each year updates, who would have won under all the different formats and that kind of stuff. And like you said, some guys would have won, some guys wouldn't have won any. I like the new format. I like the elimination style. It keeps it interesting. It competes with the stick and ball sports from that regard, in that you got X amount of teams that make it and you dwindle down to, your championship. And I actually like how they have it set up for the final four at Homestead. It's, all even, and best finishing wins that. Like you said, it would have been a disappointment had Martin Truex Jr. not won the championship just based on his season. But the mere fact that anybody that's competing, and getting to the 12, the final eight and the final four, they got a shot to go out and win on any given Sunday. So, and I get the point that, one guy is going to, or one race determines the championship for four guys. But that's really no different, in my opinion, than the Eagles and the Patriots. Any one of the, you could replay that game from the Super Bowl quite a bit of times, so you may have a different outcome. You might have had a different outcome with the race. I know Kevin Harvick was closing in at Homestead. That would have been close, So I think that the playoff has evolved with the times and a need for the sport. I know everyone complains about the sport and changing and, we're constantly changing and the rules and all that. But I'm a fan of that. And I'm a fan of, the win perspective and counting wins in the regular season. I think one of the reasons they implemented that rule was had to do with Jamie McMurray, who won 3 races one year and didn't make the playoffs, so.
Well, I do like the fact that if you do dominate the season now, it counts for something. You're carrying over all the playoff points to each round when it resets. And I think that's a really good move, because I think that the regular season has to count for something,
Absolutely.
It can't just be a meaningless thing where, Now, what do you think about the regular season being 26 races and the playoffs being 10? Do you like that format, or do you think it should be half and half?
So I actually would like to see maybe a smaller, maybe race season ran a little bit. And I'd like to, I think 16 guys in the playoffs is too many. I think 12 is a good magic number. So I'd like to see maybe a little shake up with that.
Maybe a 30 race season with a 10 race playoff?
Something like that. I'd like to see.
Yeah.
I'd like to know that odds are you can look at the 16 that are going to make it, and unless something crazy happens, you can pretty much pick who's the 4 that are not going to make it, and I would rather it not be that way. I'd rather it be 12 guys and, kick it down to, 8 or 6 or however they maybe reshuffle that, to know that, hey, you know what? It's not as big of a guarantee who's going to make it to the next round.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, no matter how many years, you're always going to have somebody arguing, well, this guy should have been in, you know, for 16 or 18 or 20. You know, you always have somebody, well, he should have got in, or he should have broke close, you know.
Sure.
I kind of agree with that. I wouldn't mind paring it down to 12 because it seems like those back-end drivers pretty much fall off right away in that first round of playoffs anyway. So yeah, I agree with that.
I'd also like them maybe to evaluate and look at, you know, you look at Austin Dillon, and there's been one or two guys every year that have knocked somebody out in that 15th or 16th spot because those guys didn't have a win and somebody outside the top 16 had a win. I like that, but right. I also like the fact that you should have to have some consistency in your season. And if you're not in the top 16 in points, the top 20 in points, you know, just because you I the win should count, and I get that, but you know, the mere fact that someone could be sitting 25th in points and sneak a win, whether it's at a plate race or a rain shortened race and play pit strategy, you know, well, I get it adds a wild
like
card to it
a couple years ago.
Absolutely, you know, so
yeah.
I go back and forth on whether or not I like that concept or not, or if they should maybe adjust what position in the standings you need to be in to still be able to make it with the win. But all those are things that, you know, could potentially be tweaked a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like every year we're tweaking something.
Yes. Oh, so, it wouldn't be NASCAR if we weren't.
Although I did hear Brian France say that we won't race at any dirt tracks. He can guarantee that yesterday. On SiriusXM NASCAR.
Yeah, I saw that. I read that and I saw, you know, I think to say a cup car would race there or on dirt, I think that would definitely be a far stretch, you know. Maybe Xfinity, maybe 5-10 years down the road, who knows. But,
yeah, there's just, I can't imagine they'd have the accommodations for a NASCAR crowd, you know. Just the sheer amount of folks and stuff you have to do to accommodate it, I don't see it working. The truck race, I think, is fine too. Like you said,
I think it works. It's worked perfectly for Eldora. It draws a great crowd. It shines a spotlight on the sport, and it draws attention to the series that is probably one of the more exciting series that maybe gets people hooked in to watch the following week or something like that. Ideally, I think it would be cool if you'd have the truck race and then they go to Bristol the next weekend because of the excitement. But I get the trucks run on Thursday night at Bristol. That would be a hard, you know, thing to choreograph there with that. But it would be cool if the following track, the next race weekend, was a very exciting track that they went to.
Yeah, I think the truck series is definitely the best racing as far as the racing side of everything this year. It's been amazing to watch that series.
Hands down. I think I said it on the show a couple weeks ago. If given the opportunity, if all three series are running and I can only watch two of them, it's truck and cup in that order too, probably.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree.
Oh, all right. Todd, have you been to any races this season? Are you planning on going to any?
I've been to all of the races at Texas Motor Speedway.
Excellent.
And I'll go again. I usually go, you know, the one-off truck race I went to with the Indy race as well. And then I always go in November. So, yeah, I go every year I can, I go. I've never been to another track, though. So I'd like to go visit, especially now when you can actually get into a place like Bristol or, you know,
absolutely,
one of those type of tracks, Dover.
Yep.
I think it'd be really cool to go visit, you know, some of the tracks I've never been to. I've been to a couple but there wasn't any racing going on
sure.
at the time.
I'm with you there, 100%. I am with you.
For sure.
Todd, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media.
I'm on Twitter under iTodd247, and that's pretty much where my domain is as far as talking NASCAR and sports. So I'm always open to interacting with people and, having good discussions.
Awesome. Hey, Todd, thank you so much for calling in, kicking off the show. It was a great chat there. I loved it. Make sure you keep in touch and make sure you call back if this happens again.
I'll do it, Brandon, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Awesome. Have a good weekend, man.
Thanks. You too, buddy.
Thanks. Wow. That was an awesome kickoff to the show. Great talking to Todd there. A lot of good topic points there with the playoffs. You know, there are so many things that NASCAR can do, that NASCAR does in terms of changing rules, whether it's to points, the aero package, the inspection process, qualifying, playoff point, you know, all that. And they change constantly, and we all complain about it. I get it. But it is just fun to just bounce ideas off other NASCAR enthusiasts to see what they come up with. That was a lot of fun. Really excited. That was a great way to kick off the show. And I'm excited for our next caller. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Joining us, second caller tonight, the first of two Johns, Mr. John Elliott. Sir, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing just great. How about you doing all right, Brandon?
Oh, I am loving life. It's awesome. Thanks for calling in. How's the summer going?
Well, it started off nice, and then it got hotter and hotter, and now I'm dying out here in Southern California. It's just, I'm hoping relief is coming around. But hey, every Sunday there's some NASCAR to watch, and I'm down with that.
Excellent. Yes, I mean, I don't know if you can say this, but I can say this. Hey, at least it's not snowing. So. Because in 6 months it will be. So, all right, John. What's your take on the season so far?
So far so good. I read an article recently about how the big three of Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and Kevin Harvick is like they compared seasons to this season to past seasons with David Pearson, Richard Petty, and I think the last one was Darrell Waltrip about the other big threes and comparing it to that, and it's like, wow, we have three heavyweights and they're all going for it, and it's going to make for an interesting homestead race in November.
I don't think majority of us are able to put into perspective how cool it is what we're being able to watch. It's not just one guy going out there and winning and dominating over the rest of the field. It's three guys going out there that are dominating equally, which is going to be a lot of fun, like you said, to watch here at Homestead. I don't know how you don't put all three of those in the final four outside of something drastic happening somewhere along the lines in the playoffs. So someone ends up wrecking and blowing a motor in two races, well, then that might do it. But I think we're witnessing something special, and I think, you know, 10 years down the road, we're going to look back to the 2018 season as, man, that was awesome that we were able to watch that.
Hell yeah.
All right. So you said you wanted to talk a little bit about some young drivers. What's on your mind with some young drivers?
Well, gosh, apart from Eric Jones winning at Daytona a couple weeks ago, I'm thinking of guys like especially Chase Elliott. I mean, Kevin Harvick said it best that he can become the next superstar of NASCAR, but he needs to win. And I agree completely with that. And with others that are going up through NASCAR, the NASCAR divisions as well, kind of like with, let's see, who was it with? Gosh, I just lost his name.
Well, you know,
with Daniel Suarez, Bubba Wallace,
Yeah,
well, no, those two, yeah, pardon me?
No, I was going to say, I'm with you with that, you know, especially with a guy like Chase, who, following in his father's footsteps, who was the most popular driver for years on end, Bill won a bunch of races, big shoes to fill, and coming in, following on the heels of Dale Earnhardt Jr., going into HMS, it was assumed, you know, he's going to be the next popular driver. And he still is, and he's still going to be. But, you know, like you said, Kevin Harvick mentioned, he needs to win. It's one thing to be popular. It's another thing to go out there and win races. You know, Kyle Busch, over the years, hasn't been the most popular, but he goes out there and wins races, which does wonders for him and the sport. So, yeah, I can see that Chase definitely needs that to kind of propel him to the next level. I think part of the problem with Chase is he's obviously got the talent. There's no doubt about that. He's going out there. He's finished second a bunch of times. He's been the bridesmaid. I'm comparing him to Kyle Larson a few years ago, where Larson finished second in a bunch of races. And finally, once he got to victory lane, you know, a few more started rolling. And I think that'll be the case with Chase and some of these other guys. I just think HMS is still battling that new car, you know. So, and I would have to think they get that dialed in by next year for sure. So I still wouldn't count Chase out with a win this year, but definitely next year. But, you know, that might be that's a lot later than people expected.
Yeah, I hope so. Gosh.
And you mentioned some of the other guys coming up through the Xfinity series. Daniel Hemric, he's coming up. Cole Custer, Tyler Riddick, Matt Tipp. There's a great group of guys that are coming up here in the Xfinity and Truck series. So, and we still got some old guys. You know, that was the talk of the season, and you know, around Daytona, was the young guys are going to go out there and show these vets what's up. And it has been anything but that. It has been some veterans going out there and dominating. But I think the series is in good hands over the next few years.
Absolutely. I can't wait for, like you said, guys like Daniel Hemric and Christopher Bell to get up to the Cup level and just show what they can do.
Absolutely. You mentioned talking about some tracks, too. Contract coming up here, 2020. What tracks, you know, could we maybe get rid of? Could we get rid of one? And what track, you know, all right, I'll ask you in a dream perspective, what track would you have on? And then what track would you add that might be a little bit more realistic to the Cup schedule?
Whew. Let's see. Probably the one to add. Oh gosh, I'm a young guy. I can't remember any. I've never seen a race like at North Wilkesboro, at Hickory, anything like that. But there's a short track about 3 hours from where I am. It's called Kern County. It's a fairly new track, and I think it has the space that can hold a Cup garage and have enough fans there that they can go and enjoy that race.
What size track is it?
I think it's a 3/8 mile.
Okay. That would definitely be fun to watch that. You know, like you said, you know, you mentioned Wilkesboro, you know, even the Milwaukee Mile, Rockingham, tracks that we haven't been to in a while. Would definitely take a lot of work to get those tracks NASCAR ready. When I look at adding tracks, or, you know, if we were to get rid of a track that has two races, let's just throw out, because we're going there this weekend, Pocono. If we were to cut Pocono down to one, you know, and we were going to add a track some point when they renegotiate, you know, I think it would have to be a little realistic in terms of tracks that the truck or the Xfinity series are racing at. So Iowa, Gateway, Canadian Tire, even Mid-Ohio, Road America, tracks that maybe wouldn't take as much work as a track that's never had a NASCAR-sanctioned event held at it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Heck, and you mentioned Canadian Tire Motorsports. For the life of me, I will never know why NASCAR pulled out of that track in Mexico. That was an awesome road course. I loved watching it for a couple of years, and you left, and now just we're on another 1.5 mile oval, and just watching people with 4 second leads just go by.
I hear you. No, that was a lot of fun there. You know, I think building the international market on the same continent is crucial. You know, I know there are a lot of Canadian fans that come to MIS, Chicago. If they're Northern Canadian, make their way over to Watkins Glen, even to Pocono. The Midwest region draws a lot of Canadian NASCAR fans, which would be very cool if they were able to get their own race there at some point in time.
Oh, heck yeah.
Hey, John, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media.
Let's see. On Twitter, you can find me at Denator, D-E-A-N-A-T-O-R. I love watching the NASCAR Twitter feeds like Elliott Sadler, Clint Boyer. They're all great.
Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah, you can find me there.
Excellent. John, thank you so much for calling in tonight and help kicking off the first listener call-in show. Really appreciate it. Make sure you keep in touch and call in again, man.
My pleasure, Brandon. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. You too. We'll see you.
I'm at it.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Our third caller tonight, the second of two Johns, Mr. John Warrington. Sir, how are you?
Good, good. Doing great, Brandon.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks.
Another weeknight with no racing.
I know, right? Bummer, man. We got spoiled for a couple of weeks there. So right. How's the summer going, man?
Good. Been busy. Got to a few races here, but we got one coming up here in Iowa this weekend. So
awesome. Where else have you been?
We went to Kansas in the spring, and we'll be going to Kansas in the fall.
Awesome.
And then we've been to some few local dirt tracks and things. So
very cool. Very cool. All right. What's your take on the 2018 season so far?
The big three. I mean, there's nothing around it.
That's true.
Those three, they are on it, and they know what they're doing, and they're showing everybody else what they should be doing. So,
yeah, they are definitely going out there each and every week, kicking ass and taking names. That's for sure. But it's kind of cool. At least it's not just one guy doing it. I mentioned with the last call, at least we've got three guys that are going out there and putting on a show for everybody.
And the good thing about it is when they are doing it, at least they're kind of spreading it out amongst themselves. You know, Harvick won three in a row, but other than that, it's been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody wins a couple and somebody else wins a couple. And then it goes back the other way. And at least it's not, you know, six, seven in a row.
Sure.
It's a couple here and a couple there. So it keeps a little bit of more excitement to it.
Absolutely. All right. So you said you want to talk about Chevy struggles a little bit. What's your perspective on the Chevy struggle in 2018? Because the struggle is real.
Oh, the struggle is very real. And as a Chevy fan, it's, you know, I was feeling really good after Daytona when all they could do was talk about the Fords and Chevy won. And I was feeling real happy, and it's been nothing good since.
You know, outside of Larson, go ahead.
Yeah, well, luckily, these JRM cars and Xfinity and the GMS trucks are doing something for the Chevy fans, but in Cup side, it's pretty dark.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you look at, you know, like I said, outside of Larson, who's finished second a couple times this year and shown some speed, he's really the only Chevy that's been able to even be brought up in any topic of conversation. You mentioned the win at Daytona this year, 2018 Daytona winner, Austin Dillon. Prior to that, you got to go back to Richmond, September 9th, 2017, for Chevy's last win outside of Daytona this year, and that was Kyle Larson. So the struggle is there, like we said. And, you know, when you look at Chevy and you talk about Chevy dominance, you talk about Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, he's struggled this year for a while. He was outside the top 16 in points. He's back up there now. I want to say he is in the top 12. So he's still not having your typical Jimmy Johnson year. And his last win was over a year ago. His last win, the June Dover race, which is just crazy to think that it's been over 36 races since Jimmy Johnson's seen victory lane.
Yeah, and it's not only been that long since he's won, it's been that long since he's had a super good race.
Oh, I'm with you.
You know, Jimmy Johnson's the type of guy, he usually is. Kevin Harvick used to be called the closer, but Jimmy Johnson's had a lot of races where he's stolen at the end, too.
Oh.
And he can't steal him at the end, and he can't dominate him anymore.
No, not at all. You know, I would have to think Chevy's going to get it dialed in come next year, at least. Worst case scenario, right? But you mentioned the Xfinity Series, and there are definitely some Chevys that are getting it done there. RCR is starting to build a strong Xfinity team. Hopefully that might carry over over the next couple of years. Maybe they can be competitive once again out on the racetrack, because definitely RCR, ever since Harvick and Bowyer left, have struggled as of late from a Chevy organization on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a good share of it that has to do with switching to the Camaro, and they're just not quite there yet. But a lot of it is they don't have a lot of the top tier drivers anymore. When SHR switched to Ford, they lost some good drivers. Tony retiring, Jeff retiring, Junior retiring. They don't have Harvick anymore. They don't have a lot of heavy hitters for drivers. Jimmy Johnson is the biggest one, and then you have Kyle Larson.
Absolutely. Yep. No, I'm with you there.
Other than that, everybody else is kind of either unproven or past their dominant and dominating times. So.
That or in a team that just isn't getting the funding and isn't able to, you know, go out there and compete with that. You mentioned NASCAR needs a streaming service. And when you told me that, I got my interest piqued and I started bouncing things off my own mind, which can get a little dangerous. Tell me what you are thinking of with a streaming service with NASCAR.
Well, I know you're a big WWE fan,
dude,
correct?
You took the words right out of my mouth. You knew right where I was going.
I don't follow it anymore, but my brother loves it, and he's got the WWE Network.
Yep.
And from what he tells me, he gets all the pay-per-views. He can go back and watch any old stuff. Basically, anything related is on there, and he can watch it at any time.
Let me tell you, that is the best $10 a month that I spend is on that network.
Yeah, and that's cheap, too.
It's dirt. You know, when I look back in the day of, you know, growing up as a teenager and you know, even before the network, you know, I didn't order every pay-per-view because $60 a month adds up, you know. So I would just get, you know, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and maybe one more. And the mere fact of for this $120 on the three pay-per-views, I get the entire year, all the pay-per-views, plus all this original programming, and I can go back and watch old stuff. Like, that is definitely bang for the buck right there.
Oh yeah, what I think it would be handy is I like watching a lot of the K&N, the modifieds, and all that kind of stuff, but a lot of that's on Fav TV, and you never know when it's going to be on, so you never know when to record it. And also just a place to know where everything's at every time. It doesn't matter who is, you know, if it was Fox or NBC or Speed, Fox Sports 1, whoever it was, you know, even if it was still their coverage, but you always knew it was on the same network or streaming or whatever.
Well, you know,
you always knew where to get it, and you wouldn't have to worry about missing something.
Even if
very nice.
Even if, you know, like, for example, I'll go back to WWE, you know, their main network doesn't have their two primary shows. Monday Night Raw and SmackDown are not viewed. You can't watch those live on the network. So even if your Cup race, your Xfinity race, and your truck race were all on your major networks, and I get that from a monetary perspective, but if you knew where you were guaranteed to watch qualifying and could get practice, uninterrupted and all that, as well as any type of, you know, the rain delay coverage story. Some of those are actually really, really good. If you were to be able to access those on a streaming library content, and to know you could go back and rewatch races, not having to fill it up on DVR if they were to put it up a week later or something like that. I would think that could be very profitable from a NASCAR perspective. And we're always talking about new ways of monitoring, you know, races. We talk about viewership being down on TV because some people are just getting their feed from Twitter. Some people are just getting it from, streaming services. You know, if you've got Comcast, you can stream it through your phone. That would definitely be a way to increase viewership in some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, how many people with the internet now, don't watch the race. They don't tune in, but I'm sure there's ways people are cutting cords and finding ways to still watch things.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I think that's got a lot to do with ratings.
Oh, absolutely. One of the main reasons why I have cable is for NASCAR and football. And, you know, if I could get those through a streaming service, I'd pay 10, 15 bucks a year for each one of those a month. Or, 10 to 15 bucks a month for each one of those and cut cable altogether.
Oh, absolutely. The only thing I watch or my family watches here on cable is sports. Any TV show we watch is pretty much on regular over-the-air TV. So
absolutely.
Not that other stuff doesn't get watched, but anything that we watch religiously is on regular TV or sports.
I'm with you, man. I like that idea. A NASCAR streaming service. Maybe they could even throw in there being able to listen to the in-car audio through all three series. And like you even mentioned, you know, K&N East, West, you know, if they could get a relationship to be able to make that happen to where you knew you could watch those races.
Yeah, and live as they were.
Oh, Arca too.
They got a lot of races.
Dude.
But
I completely forgot about that. That would be incredible to know that we could watch ARCA.
NASCAR entity.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, John, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media.
Social media, I'm on Twitter at racing_64. I'm not very active on Twitter, but I do have an account and do use it occasionally. For any diecast collectors out there, there's a great site called Diecast Crazy. I am Iowa Rigs fan on there, so there's always good NASCAR chat there.
Diecast.
Other than that's about all I got.
Wait, say that. So that's where is the Diecast Crazy? Is that a website or is that Twitter?
Yep, that is a website.
Website. So it's like a blog kind of thing, eh?
Yep, it's a diecast collectors.
So
there's a lot of diecast collecting conversation, and then just regular racing conversation on there too.
I might go hop on there. I've never heard of that. And there's one particular diecast I have been wanting for a very long time. So maybe someone can help me track it down on there.
Yep.
Awesome, John. Well, thanks so much for calling in, and make sure you call back if I do this again.
I will do.
Awesome, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, Brandon. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. See ya. Well, big thanks to John for informing me of a new diecast site that I can go spend lots of time on. Appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, John, as well. All right, quick social media plugs here. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you're subscribing, downloading. Tell all your friends. Love to know that you guys are out there listening. It's awesome. I talked about it on the show Tuesday. I've been talking about a new giveaway. It probably took me longer than I wanted to, but I will have a new giveaway. It's picked out. I put out a poll over the weekend asking if you guys liked autographs, diecasts, lap traffic gear, what your preferred is. And the number one response, I think like 45% said diecast, and some 30-odd percent was the autographs, and in a distant third, lap traffic gear. I get it. So you're going to get all three for this giveaway. It is an autographed diecast, and I'm going to throw in some lap traffic stuff. So be on the lookout for what that autographed diecast is on Tuesday. Get a little retweet and follow going. I'll give it away at 3,500 followers, and still have the big quarter panel that I will give away at 5,000 followers. So hopefully this will push it along a little bit. And I am ready to get rolling with caller number four. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, caller number four tonight. Mike, man, how are you tonight, sir?
Doing great, man. Glad to be off work and getting this thing going with you.
Cheers to that, man. So how is the summer going?
Very, very hot.
Where are you calling from?
here in Texas.
Oh, you're second Texas caller tonight. That's awesome. Texas is representing. So the last Texan was a Cowboys fan. Do you mirror that last one?
I'll root for them, but I'm more of a Houston Texans fan.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. Got to get you guys head-to-head next time. Very cool.
I grew up with so many Cowboy fans, I had to be a little bit different.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, what's your take on the 2018 season so far?
You know, I got out of NASCAR for a while because it just kind of got boring to me.
Sure.
And I got back in it this year, and it's actually been pretty good.
Nothing wrong with that.
I like all the excitement that's been going on. Dale Jr.'s done a good job in the booth to me.
NBC has upped the game something fierce from the broadcast perspective.
I could not disagree with that at all.
All right, so you wanted to talk a little DraftKings, a little fantasy, which is a different topic for this evening, which is pretty cool. So you play a lot of NASCAR DraftKings.
Yeah, I play quite a bit. I play quite a bit on the DraftKings in baseball, football, basketball, but NASCAR's what really... what we're really aiming to get going here.
And you even, you and a couple guys are starting a fantasy NASCAR podcast, correct?
As soon as I hang up with you, we are going live for the first time.
Excellent. That's very exciting. Make sure you tag me in that. What is the Twitter handle and all that good stuff for it?
You can find us at Faves. FAVES and Fades on Twitter and Facebook. Faves and Fades.
Very cool.
And then that'll be the name of the podcast as well.
Excellent. Well, looking forward to checking that out. Let's talk a little DraftKings here. I actually went and took a peek at the salary caps and all that. So for me, when I'm playing DraftKings, and hey, maybe you can give a couple secrets away here. You know, you got to pick six spots. You get a $50,000 salary cap. You get an average of $8,033 a driver. But they really have it spaced out. For example, this week heading into Pocono, Kyle Busch is $11,800. So you're already $3,000 above the average if you were to take Kyle Busch. What's a good technique at a track like Pocono or some of the mile and a half, some of the more consistent tracks? Do you try to stick towards that average, or how do you what's your approach?
Well, it depends on what track you're at, really. I mean, there's different strategies for the different tracks. Like this weekend at Pocono, we look for what's called a dominator. A dominator is somebody like Kyle Busch or MTJ or Harvick that's going to lead laps. They're going to score the most fast laps, and that's where your big points come from. Like in, let me pull it up real quick. In the last Pocono race, Kevin Harvick actually led 89 laps. That was about 50, a little over 50 more than anybody else. So he's going to score more points just off of leading laps than he is anything else.
And how much stock do you put into, let's say, a heavy hitter has a bad qualifying? Let's say Martin Truex Jr. Is starting, say, 25th at a track. You know, do you look for the passing points with those and weigh that more than if you were to look at Kyle Busch, who might be starting on the pole, for example?
Yes, you can. For instance, the last Pocono race, Eric Almirola actually qualified 34th. He had a bad qualifying run, so that is almost an automatic play for me because he's in good equipment. He's a decent driver. He's not going to finish 34th.
Sure.
And he ended up finishing 7th. So the place differential points also matter there, too. And especially like this weekend, it is a Tech is after qualifying. So their times will not be allowed if they fail the post-qualifying tech, which means they won't have a starting position that they qualified in.
Sure. Yep. I'm with you.
If that makes sense.
I'm with you. So when you, for me, when DraftKings first came out with their fantasy NASCAR, it was the 50,000, but it was only five spots. And I like that a little bit better. I think they have these salary caps spaced a little too far out. When you look at Kyle Busch at 11,800, and then you look at a guy like Matt DiBenedetto at 5,300, it really makes, for me, you almost need to be able to bank on picking the one guy that's going to maybe have the race of his season there a little bit to be able, if you're looking at making some big bucks with DraftKings.
Yeah, and for somebody like me, I'm a MME type player. I multi-max entry everything that I do. Like for the $1 contest, it's a 20 max entry. I put 20 different lineups in it just to get the different variations, hoping to catch the right one.
Sure.
But there is stuff that will lead you to the right ones. For instance, Cole Whitt at Daytona and Talladega, he is a fantastic play. And just depending on each track, depends on who to look at better. Like, of course, we know, everybody knows that AJ Allmendinger's good at road courses, you know, things like that.
Sure. You know, for me, one of the things that I look at, and something, if, you know, I was, you know, I've gotten some people hooked on DraftKings, and I'm sure you have too. If you're just starting out, like, and you want to, you know, have a little action on it to make it a little bit more interesting, you know, for me, I wouldn't tell someone to go get in a $10 2,000 person contest thing. Go take that 10 bucks and put it in a 100 person double up contest. Doesn't matter how many points you get, as long as you finish in the top half. Any day you can take 10 bucks, turn it into 20 bucks, that's a good day. And get your feet wet with some double ups and things of that nature before you test the waters of the, you know, $27, $25 double ups or the $25, you know, big contest kind of thing.
Yes, for somebody new that's coming in, play the smaller contest. Look at the entries. Don't do anything that's got thousands of people in it. And don't waste a lot of money. Just play the low dollar, the $1, the $3, even the quarter. They have a 25-cent, 150 entry. For the new ones, I would not enter that one. I would enter the 25-cent, I think it's 20-entry max contest, just to play around and kind of get the feeling of it first.
Get your feet wet a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. All right, Mike, that was a lot of fun. I enjoy talking that kind of stuff. When you look at some other tracks, what kind of strategy do you play when you're looking at a track like Bristol versus a track like, say, Michigan?
Bristol is going to be a dominator track because you're going to have a guy with all the laps that they run, I mean, 500 laps, there's going to be a lot of laps led points and a lot of fast lap points. And that is something that you're going to have to look for at that type of track. Now, Daytona is a complete
shit
different
show.
Ball game. There is a strategy to it. I won't give it away here. You have to catch our podcast when Talladega comes up.
What a teaser. I love it. You're learning already.
I'm trying.
That's awesome. But, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just, every track varies. I mean, a lot of them are the same. I mean, like Atlanta. Everybody knows that Kevin Harvick's good there.
Sure.
He's a fantastic play, no matter if he runs out of fuel at the end or what happens. He's going to lead laps, and he's going to lead fast laps. So just certain things come up with certain tracks.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. Mike, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media.
You can follow me at MikeTuck12 on Twitter. And then, like I said, we have our Faves and Fades Facebook page. We've got the Twitter account. And then as soon as we're wrapped up here, we're going to start recording our first ever podcast.
Excellent. Well, good luck to you, man, and make sure you keep in touch and call back again.
I definitely will, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, bud. Thank
See
you.
Ya. All right. Little different talk there with Mike. Some fantasy NASCAR. I love it. You guys know I love the DraftKings. We got the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. So I love talking some fantasy. So that was very cool and very interested to check out Mike's podcast there on fantasy sports playing there. That should be a lot of fun. All right. We are cruising here. This is a lot of fun. Very excited. Two more callers lined up here, and it is time to get to the fifth caller of the evening. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, caller number five. You know him very well. He is a staple of tweeting in some awesome Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks. He has also been assisting me on the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Mr. Mick Rose, sir, how are you this evening?
I am excellent.
Fantastic. Mick, tell everyone where you're calling from.
Junction City, Kansas.
Excellent. I like that, Junction City. That's a cool city name. Mick, how's the summer going for you?
It has been hot and dry.
That is a very consistent response from all the callers tonight, that it has been hot and dry. It is typically pretty hot and dry up here in Detroit over the summer. It's dry, but it's comfortable. It's not 100-degree, 100% humidity, so I'm not suffering as much as some of you guys are, so I won't complain. Mick, like I said, you've been helping me with the Fantasy League. So first off, thank you so much for all of the work that you have put in. You get it over to me before I'm ready to update it. So I just want to thank you so much for all of your work into the Lap Traffic Fantasy League.
That's no problem. I got a system down now. It's pretty easy. It's not that difficult at all.
Excellent. All right. So, Mick, I want to give you a platform right now. I want you to call out the MOATF podcast. They have called you out as a conspiracy that you changed some picks and some scores and that. Mick, the floor is yours to address the MOATF podcast.
I really don't need to, throw any stones or nothing like that. You know, I understand they don't make good picks, so they're upset.
Mick, you couldn't have said it any more perfect. I love it. Oh, I love it. all right, Mick, I'm asking everyone, what's your take on the 2018 season so far?
Well, I enjoy it. A lot of people, I guess, do not like that there's three guys that are dominating all the races, but it's better than one guy dominating all the races. And at the end, there's still only one championship trophy. So even though there's three guys that might be dominating, there's a chance that all three of them go home without a championship trophy. So there's a lot of stuff to pay attention to and see how it plays out.
You know, I talked that same thing a little bit earlier with a caller and said, you know, it's you almost have to pencil or pen these guys into Homestead, and there very well could be someone that plays spoiler to them, which, could make or break. You know, last year everyone said, you know, with Martin Truex Jr. dominating season, it would have been a shame if he didn't win. The mere fact you got three guys having a dominating season, someone's not going to win. So it's not going to have the same feel as it did last year. And I think that's awesome because it's going to be a different feeling because it's a completely different season from last year.
Yep, I think that if the plus one, whoever that is, ends up winning the championship, there'd be all kinds of outrage, which will also be fun to hear.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. All right, Mick, you wanted to talk Cup guys running lower series, and you are a fan of that. So I'm not a fan, but I want your take. Why does Mick Rose like Cup guys in the lower series?
Because the whole "I will race anybody, anywhere, anytime" should always be the motto, no matter what the racing is. So if everybody is under that same motto, race anybody, anywhere, anytime, then we should always have, you know, it doesn't matter who's in the race.
I like that. I like that, Mick. That is a very racer mentality pick or comment there, sir. I like that. And, you know, and when you had mentioned that you were a fan of that, and I went and I looked, and I was actually surprised by the numbers in the truck series, because we've had Kyle Busch run quite a bit of truck races, and we've had some other cup regulars run that. We've had 13 truck races. 10 of them have been won by series regulars. That's pretty cool, in my opinion, knowing that you've got some cup guys running in the truck series.
Right. And I understand people are upset because, you know, they have better equipment, but it's, I don't care what series you watch in racing, there's going to be somebody who has more money and better equipment. So it doesn't matter if it's the Xfinity, the World of Outlaws, your local dirt track, there's always going to have somebody that's going to have more money than somebody else.
Sure. No, I'm with you. And you get that in any sport. You know, you've got teams that have more money that use their cap space better or are willing to spend a little more on a coach. And, you know, it shows. Yep. Xfinity Series, though, 18 races, only six by the Xfinity regulars, 33%. You know, as the last 2 years with the playoffs in the Xfinity Series have gone on, I'm becoming more and more of a fan of the fact that the Xfinity Series is a much more tight race to get to the playoffs and throughout the playoffs, because there's just not the playoff points. I'll be honest, I wasn't a big fan of that before, but as I see how this goes and I see how the racing has improved in the Xfinity Series, I'm very excited for the playoffs in the Xfinity Series because of that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the playoffs in all of them. I think all three series, the playoffs are going to be excellent, along with the next six races. So, because you still have people that lock themselves in.
Absolutely. You know, last year we had quite a bit. I think we had 13 or 14 winners maybe in the cup. Something like that's ringing a bell. And definitely we're going to have a lot more guys making it on points this year in the cup level. That's for darn sure. Mick, you mentioned mile and a half tracks. Don't bother me. Tell everyone why you're cool with the mile and a half tracks.
Because the track is the same for everybody, so it doesn't matter, you know, if they race at Martinsville or Kansas. The track is the same for everybody. You know, it's sort of like playing with a basketball. They're all the same for everybody, you know, or the rims or something like that. So the track shouldn't. It doesn't bother me what they race on. Sometimes they are not as good as some of the shorter tracks, but some of the shorter tracks, sometimes the racing ain't great. But
I'm with you. I like that perspective. For me personally, you know, I was looking at the schedule a little bit when putting the show together, because there were a couple guys that wanted to talk scheduling and tracks and all that kind of stuff. You know, 40%.
There's 11 mile and a half tracks.
11 mile and a half tracks. You got it. And for me,
but there's also 11 tracks that are a mile and shorter.
Yes. Yes. See that, Mick?
You're 10 that are 2 miles and bigger. So.
Mick, it's like you're looking at my show sheet or something.
Well, no, I know that I've been in this argument before. So,
Now
we have three road courses.
Yes.
But Darlington's the oddball because it doesn't fit in any of those categories, which is unique. And I wish that some of these mile and a half tracks, you know, like when Texas and Kentucky repaved, instead of making a corner flat or whatever, they made it a mile and a quarter or made it unique, you know, instead of saying, well, we're going to have 10 years of bad racing because we repaved,
to get the character.
They could have made it.
Yes.
Yeah, we could have made it unique, so it's the only one like it.
I'm with you. No,
you know, so no one could say it's a cookie cutter.
Nope. Yeah, no, you and I are on the same page with that. What I want to ask you, though, is when we're talking about tracks and all that, is the season too long? Do we go to some of these mile and a half tracks and the 2 mile tracks? Do we hit them? Is going there twice too many?
That, see, that, I don't know if it's too long, but it, when football season comes along, then you have to make decisions, you know, where you want to watch. You know, I'm not a baseball fan, so I guess people who are baseball fans already have to make those decisions throughout the summer. But when football season comes around, you know, you got college football on Saturday, the NFL on Sunday and Monday and Thursdays, you know, so sometimes if they could, you know, I don't know if there's 36 races, doesn't seem like a whole lot, you know, but the length on the calendar seems too long sometimes.
I'm with you. My wife likes to remind me many times that the season runs from February to November. So, so like when I look at that, like, you know, football, you know, 16 games, man, you know, 16 weeks, you get your off week, whatever. I'm excited about that because it's only 16 games. Baseball, 162 yeah. games. That's too long for me. It's easy to get lost in that because there's so many games. When I look and try to make that comparison from baseball and football, and I look at it from truck and cup, you know, the trucks, they've got, there's a stretch when they're on the West Coast where they got five off weeks. So I'm excited and I'm geeked and I'm ready for that truck race. Cup, I know it's there every other week. So for me, when we're talking about, you know, viewership and attendance and all that being down, I wonder if less is more here. If they were to shorten it a little bit, would that maybe create a little bit more excitement if we didn't have it every single week at some of these duplicate tracks?
That, see, I don't know, because, you know, well, I mean, the World of Outlaws is a much smaller scale, but they do like 90 races in the same time frame.
Sure, yeah.
You know, from February to November. So, if you did a shorter time frame, so, you know, where you did have a midweek race, or, you know, when you went from, you know, like when they're on the West Coast swing, you know, if they were at Vegas on Sunday and then went to Phoenix on a Thursday because they're already on the West Coast or whatever.
Sure.
You know, and you could speed it up and get the season done, you know, by the September. Then you have that long wait till Daytona that, you know, to build the excitement back up, I guess.
Absolutely. I am with you there 100%. Mick, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media, sir.
Oh, man. It's I'm on Twitter. It's GoDucks88 or GoDucks 42 underscore Mick.
Excellent. Excellent, sir. All right. Mick, thank you for calling in tonight and helping kick off the first listener call-in show. Thank you for your help with the Fantasy Lap Traffic League. And I look forward to talking to you in the very near future, sir.
All right. And hopefully everybody gets their picks in.
Yes, get your picks in. That's right. All right, Mick, have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, our sixth and final caller of the evening. He is a regular call-in on the Wave Around Hotline for his lucky dog picks. You've seen him on Twitter interacting with me and Sherwin and all that. Mr. Andrew Kantzian, what's up, man? How are you doing?
What's up, man? Nothing much. It's the usual routine of the day. Nothing special has happened today, which is probably a good thing.
That's a good thing for a college student, I would say.
I would agree.
Very envious of some of the stories I've seen you share and have heard you say and tell me through the DMs there. I miss those days, but I probably would be really tired really quick if I were to go back to those days.
Well, the good thing is the bad thing who holds my college loan hasn't come hunting me down to pay it back yet. So for the next year and 6 months, we're good in that regard.
Excellent. Excellent. You got plenty of taco beer money on Tuesdays.
Oh, damn right, man. Damn right.
All right. So I am putting you on the spot. I am booked. I am going to Darlington with PETM. Will you be there?
It's looking like a yes.
All right.
Nothing confirmed yet, but I would say it's likely.
All right. Are we at or below a 75% chance?
I'm going to put it at, just to be a tool, 47.9%.
I love it. I love it. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Well, I hope that you're there hanging out with us in Darlington, because it is going to be a damn good time.
Yeah, man, me too. I feel like I get the tracks that get shit on the most up north here in Yankee Land, so I need to see some of these different tracks.
I'm with you. I'm with you. That's why I'm going. All right, brother.
yeah, Michigan sucks too.
All right.
I know. I'm sorry, the track president. I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm not saying it. You know, it can get a little boring out there sometimes. I love MIS. Can't wait to go. I will be very sad if they lose their second track date, but I get from the average fan why they, you know, may not enjoy Michigan as much as I enjoy Michigan. Just like the fans out in the Poconos, I'm not a big Pocono guy. Once a year is cool for me, but there are, you know, that's the thing. You know, you've got the tracks that have the two dates, and some of the rest of the nation may not like losing it, or would be in favor of losing some of these second dates at some of these tracks. But you've got some people that have grown up and just been accustomed to having two dates. And, you know, that's who it would suck for when people lose a date at a track, is those diehards that build their summer around going to two races every year.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I want to say it was Brett Griffin who said this on Door Bumper Clear, and that's one of the best racing podcasts. If you're not listening to that, you're making a mistake. But a couple of months ago, he said that every track we should go to one time a year, except for Daytona and Charlotte. I'm like, man, I've been saying that for a couple of years now.
So
let's go everywhere once. I think you'll see a better race at all those tracks.
It's funny you say that. I would be okay with adding Martinsville in there. I would be okay with adding, let's see, you know, Bristol. I think Bristol, you know, should have two races. But, you know, Auto Club had two races for a year. I'm glad they got, you know, rid of that one. Las Vegas does not need two races. Pocono, Kansas. You know, there are some tracks out there that, you know, I was talking to a caller before talking about would less races be more for people? And I wonder if that would be the same with some of these tracks. Like even Michigan. I look at Michigan growing up as a kid, sat 150,000 people. It's down to around 75 or 80 now, and it doesn't fill that out. Well, is that because some of the people are splitting that up between the two races? If Michigan only had one race, would it be a sellout because you only had one chance to go to it? So, you know, those are other things to put into perspective, I guess, to the higher heads that are way above our pay grades, I assume.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I want to say it was also your boy Kevin Harvick said this maybe last year when it was announced that Vegas would get a second date. He's like, well, you could take one okay race and turn it into two bad races, you know? And when we took the second date away from Auto Club, we saw a great race in, was that 2011 maybe? No, that was the race Harvick passed Johnson in the final corner. That was awesome.
Yep, yep.
And then, and, you know, the following years, we had awesome, and we still do have great races out in Fontana with only one date. I don't remember where the second date went. Oh, it was Kansas.
Kansas, yep.
And the only reason it goes to Kansas is because that racetrack makes millions of dollars with the casino. So, you know, these companies aren't going to want to lose out on their investments, and you can't blame them.
No,
you know?
Absolutely not. No, I you know, it's I don't, from that regard, I don't know if it's good or bad that the tracks are now under corporation. You know, I get probably some of the guys and owners when it was individual were losing a ton of money. And even as a corporation, they still are. But they're probably able to absorb that a little bit better as a corporation than just individual track owners.
Oh, for sure. And especially with all the upgrades that ISC is doing now. I mean, they just announced that Talladega is getting a $50 million makeover. And, you know, that's, I'll never see $60 million in my life. Right. So, you know, that's a big chunk of money that they're investing in for the fans, which is a good thing because, man, some of these tracks, I mean, I go to Dover, I'm sitting on a friggin' metal bleacher. I'm like, goddamn, I can go to a ball game and I got like a seat back, a cup holder, and everything. You don't get that at most tracks.
No, no, I'm with you.
I wonder if we bring some of these tracks into the, you know, the 21st century in 2018 instead of, you know, 1985. Well, maybe more people would be willing to come out. You know, that's just me thinking aloud here as a fan who has sat, you know, in the grandstands at Dover and Pocono and sweat my ass off for 3 or 4 hours watching a race.
Absolutely.
Now, personally, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm a diehard. You probably feel the same way with Michigan.
Yes.
But does the casual fan want to do that? No, I wouldn't blame a casual fan for doing that. You know?
And that's the thing. You don't have to worry about guys like us going to our home tracks. It's pulling in people that haven't been to a race, that maybe watch a handful of races a year and are only contemplating going because it's in a commutable distance to them. Those are the people that we need to reach out to from a sports perspective and be like, hey, what can we do to bring you here? You know, we do the pre-race concerts. We've got activities for the kids and the family, you know, in the concourse area and things of that nature. And that's only working to some degree, and the tracks are spending a ton of money on these extracurricular activities and still not bringing enough people to the track. So what else can we do to draw in the casual fan? Is it shorter races? Is it only one race at certain tracks? You know, there are a lot of variables at play.
My idea is we go to Pocono, Michigan, twice a year in the dead of the heat, no more than, you know, 5 to 7 weeks apart. See, what if, right, just thinking aloud, we said we'll go to Pocono, Michigan, we'll do your 400-mile race in your first date, no problem. What if the second date we went and said, hey, let's do two twin 200-mile races each, you know? Change up the format in that regard a little bit. I would wonder if that would maybe spice up some of these tracks with second dates.
Well, hey, you know, if you made it the same in terms of, you know, if we did a twin race at Michigan, 200-mile lappers, and broke that up into the three stages and all that, and had the same points value, you know, someone could potentially win two races in one day and have some shorter and more exciting racing. Hey, you know, that's a whole nother level of contemplation here of, all right, do we break up races? Do we, you know, there are so many different things. And we've talked about four changes here in 5 minutes that would put NASCAR fans into a tizzy because of all these changes, you know. So, and that's the thing. It's, you don't know what's going to stick on the wall until you try it to some degree. And I get the NASCAR fan just wants to let things be and just race, and others are okay with the changes. But there's a lot more that aren't.
Yeah, I think it all depends on the fan. I mean, I'm not personally one for a lot of the changes that have been made. But there are certain changes that have been made where I'm like, man, looking back, that was a great change that, you know, they've made to the competition side, you know? And sometimes you've got to ask yourself, what is the real problem that we're chasing to draw in new fans? Personally, I think the on-track product this year has gotten better. I mean, I thought some of those early races, I'm like, wow, these are brutal to watch. But, you know, we look at New Hampshire and Chicago, man, they were two really good races that we haven't seen at those tracks in a few years. So, you know, maybe it's not the on-track product. Maybe we got to really blow something up and try something different. I don't know. I don't have an answer, and that's why I'm not getting paid to do it.
Right.
You know?
I'm with you. No, but you're right. You know, if some of these tracks can start to develop and create some more interesting races, like you said, Chicago, I would never have bet on Chicago to be the style of racing that we saw there. But I'm glad we did, and that didn't hurt things. That's for damn sure. So, you know, if we get surprises throughout a race season at tracks we don't expect, that's only good. You know, I still think they could do some things to the car to make the on-track competition a little bit better, which could only enhance things. But I'm with you there. I feel you 100%.
Yeah, I'm definitely not gonna disagree about the car. I mean, the Gen 6 car is probably the most aero-dependent car that we've seen so far, you know?
Yep.
So
yep.
That's something they'll have to look at when Gen 7's rolled out here in the next couple of years.
Absolutely.
Sure.
All right, man, you wanted to do a little playoff preview. So start us off here with your playoff preview.
All right, well, we got Bowman on the bubble. I'm a big Bowman fan. But something tells me he's not going to make the playoffs, because something tells me we're going to see somebody win who we're going to be like, holy shit, I did not see that person winning. It just never goes as planned.
I don't disagree. Right now we're looking at Austin Dillon 19th in points, being the only guy outside the top 16 that would knock out the Stenhouse, who's currently in 16th. So who would you say is that wild card winner, and what track is it at?
Man, you never know. I mean, we saw Chris Buescher win a race, a flag-shortened race at Pocono a couple of years ago.
Yep.
You really don't know. I mean, based on pure speed, I would have to guess Suarez. I mean, he's probably got the best equipment of those guys outside the bubble. But outside of a couple tracks, he hasn't really run all that great. But you never know when he's just going to flip the switch. It's going to be like, oh, man. Here's the guy that we thought we were going to be seeing, you know? And granted, he's still young.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like I'm not ready to declare him a bust in the least. I mean, he's only in his second full-time year. You never know. I mean, is Dinger going to win at the Glen?
Well,
probably not. I mean, it's going to be hyped up a lot, but I can't see it happening. He hasn't shown the speed there the past few years at all.
You know, he's over-raced the road courses the last few years with the pressure that's been put on him. You know, if he could just settle in, you know, if he were able to get a couple top tens even leading into either Sonoma or Watkins Glen any year, I bet you we see a completely different AJ Allmendinger at the road courses.
I totally agree. I think he puts a little too much pressure on himself and maybe puts himself in a Ricky Stenhouse situation. The way he raced at Daytona, tearing up like 35 cars.
Right.
And you also, speaking of Stenhouse, he runs really, really well at Bristol. I mean, don't be surprised if he pulls off a win at Bristol.
You know
that could be a wild card track right there.
You know, so there were a couple guys I was looking at with Bristol and Watkins Glen as being a wild card there. I would not, if I were to look, you know, if I'm looking at, you know, 17 on down, you know, we got Paul Menard, Ryan Newman, Dylan Suarez, Byron McMurray, Buescher, Wallace, Dinger, Casey Kane. You know, when I'm looking at wild course or wild card potentials, it's Bristol, it's Watkins Glen, and if Indy is anything like it was last year, with it being the last race before the playoffs, there is a good potential, like you said, that there very well could be someone outside the top 16 that wins. I would look at Jamie McMurray. You know, not a ton of top 10 finishes. He's won some big. You know, he's won some of the higher profile races that we have coming up. You know, he of the Chevys, it's Larson and Chip Ganassi Racing that is showing the speed. So if I'm looking at someone outside the top 16, I might be keeping my eye on Jamie McMurray if there was a wild card winner.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth, actually. I mean, his teammate has been the best Chevy all year. And he's won races, like you said. He's won at the Brickyard. He's won the big races, and he's also not a bad road racer either.
No.
And you never—but you also never know who could luck into a fuel mileage win. You know what? What if Michigan turns out and the whole final stage goes green, or they get a caution with like 60 to go, and you're like, "Wow, that is just outside the fuel window."
Yep.
And we go to a lot of big tracks, whether it's Pocono or Michigan or Indy. That could happen at either of those tracks, where we just get a long green stretch, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God. Now, Trevor Bayne, if that last caution didn't come out last year at the Brickyard, who's to say his strategy wouldn't have paid off?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if people remember that, but he was pulling a strategy that you're like, what's going on here? If this goes green, Trevor Bayne might win another big race.
Sure. Yep. No, it is. It's not a done deal for some of these guys when we're looking at the standings for the Cup in the playoffs. You know, if it plays out with the top three winning races, well, then, you know, everybody but Stenhouse is going to be a happy camper right now, which, and that very well could be. It's a good possibility the top three win. I mean, I wouldn't bet on them to win every single race going into the playoffs, but there's a good chance these three could win four or five of the remaining six races going into the playoffs?
I think these guys are going to win every single race up the Glen, to be honest with you. I think Brad is going to win at the Glen, but other than that, I really can't see anyone else winning. Just based on the speed I've seen from these guys, I can't see it happening. But stranger things have happened, and that's why we tune in and watch every Sunday, you know?
Absolutely. I'm with you, sir. All right. Before we wrap this up here, what's the scoop on your podcast, Out of Left Field? Is it happening? Is it on the summer break?
I didn't even know I had a podcast anymore. So I think my co-host is a little too busy putting on Twitter about how much he loves his girlfriend. I'm like, dude, you're a junior in college. Like, that's some high school crap. We didn't even be doing that.
Oh.
Like, get behind the damn mic and everything.
Just got called out. Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, goddamn, man. Like, what the fuck? You're going to be 21 in 3 months. Stop acting like, you know, you just met the damn girl and friggin', you know, like sixth grade or something. Goddamn.
Woo. Called out. What are you doing? Called out like, whoa.
Yeah.
I love it.
I call them out all the time, so it's nothing new.
I love it. Andrew, man, thank you so much for calling in and capping off the first listener call-in show. Tell everyone where they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, I'm on just about everything. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. It's just my last name, Cantian, on all the formats. I keep it simple because I'm not that smart, so I got to remember it somehow. Us criminal justice majors aren't really too bright, so we got to figure out ways to keep life simple.
Hey, poli sci here. I feel you.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not far off.
No, I'm not.
How I made it home every night in New Orleans with my wallet, keys, and phone, I'll never know.
Hey, man, what took you out to New Orleans? Not to get off the rails here, but what
was,
the hell?
I was on a – yeah, why not? I'll keep it PG-13.
That works.
I just went out there for a leadership conference with my fraternity, and we went out there, went to some seminars, acted like, you know, tools at night. I found a big hole in my wallet where the money used to be on one of the nights. I don't know. I woke up one night. I'm like, well, I have no money. And then the next night I woke up and I look at my clock and it's, you know, 5:15 in the morning. I'm like, oh, shit. I was supposed to be up at 4:30 and I should be at the airport by now.
Oops.
So
oops.
That was probably, I'm like, oh, Uber driver, how far is the airport? It's like, oh, I thought like 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, I hope I make my flow.
Oh, that's awesome.
I made it. I don't know how I made it.
That's awesome.
And then I got lost in Atlanta Airport. So, you know, Sherwin, can you, like, downsize your airport? It's freaking huge.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for calling in. And I know I'll hear your voice on the Waiver on Hotline this week. And you have yourself a great weekend, sir.
You too, man. I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, brother. We'll talk to you.
Bye.
Well, big thanks to Andrew for calling in. Love talking with him. So much fun. Energy. Oh, you young college guys, I tell you. All right, Lab Traffic Nation. I got to tell you, everyone that called in tonight, you guys spoiled the hell out of me. I did not have any idea how this was going to go. Everybody called on time. Prompt. It worked flawlessly. Can't believe this is an hour and 20 minute show. It did not feel like it took that long to record. Just fantastic. I had so much fun. Hope you guys did as well. And like I said, if you guys like this from a listener perspective, I'll do this again. I had a blast. I do not mind sitting in the basement in the man cave on a Thursday talking with you guys. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. That is going to do it for episode 82 of the Lap Traffic Podcast, the listener call-in show. Man, I can't tell you how much fun I had doing this tonight. It was a blast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Get your fantasy picks in if you're playing in the league. Big thanks to all the listeners that called in tonight. Todd, John Elliott, John Warrington, Mick, Mike, Andrew. Big thanks to you guys for being a part of the first listener call-in show. The Road to MIS picks up next Tuesday. Very familiar voice, Rick Brenner, track president of MIS, will be on the show to hype up MIS. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!